Hello there, football fans, and welcome to a very exciting week, a very exciting edition of the Soccer Central podcast. This is our Euro 2016 preview podcast, as promised. For a while there, we thought about not doing one, being very lazy, but in the end, we thought, you know what? By the time it comes around, we'll feel bad if we don't deliver for you, the listener. I'm James Sharman, joined by Thomas Dobby and John Molinaro. Hello, boys.
Hello, James.
Hey. What's happening?
I figured we should do one because this will be the last one while I'm alive. So, you know, I'm
That's
off
right.
to France
you're off
on,
the Euro
Friday,
on Friday, right?
In 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and your first game is what?
First game is Sweden-Ireland on Monday.
Sweden-Ireland on Monday. So you get there on Friday?
I get there Friday.
So you got a lot of weekend partying.
Weekend in Paris.
Oh.
On my own. Yeah.
For the time being.
Yeah. It's going to be fun.
Wicked, a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And let me ask you this. Given what we've seen this past season with obviously Leicester and all the various storylines, does that change your outlook to this tournament as far as a surprise might happen, could happen? It is more possible than perhaps you may have considered back in August that if a team, let's say in Austria or a Croatia, make that move and actually do really well, God forbid, win this thing, would you be as surprised now considering what's happened and then you would have been back in August?
That's an interesting question. No, I don't think I'd be as surprised. And I don't think it has anything to do with, the Leicester City story or anything like that that's happened in Europe. I just think this is a really strong field. And I know there's going to be a lot of belly aching about the expansion from 16 to 24 teams. But, I look at the field and I think it's one of the strongest Euro sort of tournaments on paper anyway, going into it as normal. I wouldn't be surprised if a team like Austria or Poland or Wales or somebody like that goes on a really solid run. Maybe not win it, but a Final Four appearance? Yeah, that wouldn't strike me as odd at all.
I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked if somebody outside of the Big Five won it.
Big Five? With the Big Five?
For me, the Big Five would be France, Germany, Spain, Belgium. And then the fifth is a battle right now.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Italy or England.
Really?
5 and 5A. Yeah.
Really?
I'll put those two in the mix to potentially upset the apple cart. But I would love to see one of those smaller teams make a good run, make a run to a semifinal. And, you know, with the 24 teams and with the third place and how the groups might shake down, there is a potential path for one of the smaller teams to make it that far. But at this level, I mean, I think that Leicester were almost spoiled us in thinking that we can dream big. And I've seen so many places that players and managers and countries in general are talking about that upset potential because of it. And it's amazing already the impact that Leicester have had in that regard. Where if they can do it, anyone can do it. But I think that the big boys, the international game, will put that to rest pretty quick, I think, in this tournament.
It should be said, too, I mean, that the upset potential is far greater in a tournament like this because yep. it's not got round, right? Whereas Leicester, I mean, they had to sustain that over 38 games, which was incredible.
Even more insane, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is a greater potential for upsets, but, yeah, whether we'll actually see one, I mean, who knows?
And bear in mind, the top four third-place teams, best third-place teams, also qualify.
Right.
Right? So you must be pretty bad not to qualify for the knockout phase, in which case anything can happen. And I think you're right, JMO. It is a good field. And when they first announced the expansion, I, like most of us old-fashioned purists, were like, you can't do that. 16 was great, and 16 was great. Yeah. I loved it. But there aren't bad teams in this tournament. Even the smaller teams, the Northern Irelands, for example, Iceland, obviously a great story, Hungary, they're not awful teams.
No.
You won't see many blowouts, I don't think, in this tournament. You don't rarely see blowouts anyway in tournaments. But we thought we'd open this up to you, the listener, rather than go through group by group, because there's many great podcasts out there that do just that. We'll just open it to you, and we asked you to tweet some questions and thoughts. So we'll be doing that today and get into some of, we'll try and get some of them, often we forget. But we'll start with one, shall we?
Because yeah, there you go. Better than usual.
Jack Mather, good question, actually, asked, which big team has the most potential to flop?
Ooh.
Now, Dob thinks there's five big teams. I think that's a stretch. I think there's three big teams. Then there's a big chasm. And then there's England's, Italy's. I wouldn't put Belgium there just yet.
Really?
No, I wouldn't.
Interesting, because I was wondering when you said three. I was like, well, Germany, France, okay, but where are you going to go? Spain or Belgium there?
Spain, because for sure.
A lot of a lot more people are picking Belgium to go further than Spain in this tournament.
This is the first, I think it's probably the first tournament that Belgium are expected to do something. The World Cup, it was like, okay, this is a good young team, the sexy choice to do really well. And they did okay. They went out to the quarterfinals against Brazil, but they didn't play great in that tournament. In fact, I would say they're a bit disappointing from a performance standpoint. This year, they're expected to do well. So could they be the biggest potential for a flop? If not them, who?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they can be considered a big team, but I would think Portugal, or I would go with Italy as the biggest flops. I don't think either one is kind of set up to go long in this tournament, but I don't know. We'll see. Regarding Belgium, I don't know. I think there's far too much hype about them because they're missing like a lot of defenders. They had to call in Laurent Simon from Montreal Impact. So, and they're missing guys like Vincent Kompany. So,
Thomas Vermaelen might be starting for them, and he I think he's regretting that move to Barcelona, you know? He might just be a little bit.
Having that being said, though, I mean, he's been hurt before he arrived there. He's been hurt since. You know, he's not playing wherever he is, right? So it's better to be hurt and injured and living in Barcelona than perhaps London.
North
in
London.
The winter. Right?
I don't know.
You know, you're putting your foot up, you're nursing that injured groin or hamstring or calf or knee or ankle or toe or hair or eye, and I want some hot sun beaming down on me, not dreary London weather, so not too much regret, perhaps.
Yeah, for me, Spain intrigues me to no end. I think that there is a potential for a big flop, and that is a tricky group, and it's quietly tricky. People go, "Oh, okay, it's straightforward," but I don't want to play any of those teams, to be honest. I mean,
Croatia,
they're all,
Czech Republic, and Turkey.
Correct. They're all difficult teams in their own way, and I think that they'll all attack Spain in a way that they'll find it tough to say they won't get out of the group. That's a stretch. I mean, like you said, the four third place teams, but I could see them not winning that group and being in some trouble going forward. I just, for a two-time defending champion of this tournament to go in with so many question marks and such a different feel to them and coming off that really disappointing World Cup and not the greatest qualifying I've ever seen from them, I'm really intrigued by them, and I think that they could be disappointing for sure.
I think it'll be interesting for them. It'll come down to Del Bosque because, as we saw like 2 years ago, he kind of remained a little bit too loyal to some of those veterans.
The old guard, yeah.
Yeah, so it could come down to that. If he sort of imparts this new blood into the tournament, then maybe that could be the key for them.
I have them making the final, actually. You know, and I'm like you. It could go either way. Yeah. But I think people are writing them off way too early. One blip. This is a team that's still, you know, a large part of this team is still the one that won the European Championship in the World Cup, right? Yeah, obviously some truly great players have left that team, and Iniesta isn't what he used to be. But there's some new blood in that team I like a lot. Morata, I mean, J-Mo, great player, right? Great work ethic. Scoring might be an issue, right? With obviously there's no Costa, dropped. Torres playing well for Atletico, dropped. Alcacer dropped. But when has Spain ever been a prolific goal-scoring machine?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen when they've won the major tournaments, a lot of 1-0s and a lot of grinded-out games. And when they got a lead, I mean, that was kind of the MO. So, I mean, of course, they could continue it. And I wouldn't be shocked if they made a final either. I know I'm sitting on the fence on them, and I wanted to pick a big boy that I thought might disappoint. But if they made a final, I wouldn't be shocked either. I really wouldn't.
De Gea in goal, right? Surely,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not Casillas, it's the
You've
captain.
Got to think.
Oh,
to
absolutely.
Be, right?
Yeah.
He's saying that for a while, though, right?
Yeah. It was funny, actually, as I was doing my research last night, just to, you know, bone up and make sure that I didn't make any glaring errors on this podcast. It's amazing how many of the keepers in this tournament have been the national team keepers for a long time. Like, I went to the team, I'd be like, wow, Isaksson's still in net for Sweden, and you know, guys like that, exactly for Russia. I was like, geez, the old guard just hang on and hang on.
Buffon
it's incredible.
Yeah. Buffon, yeah. I think this is like his eighth or ninth like big tournament.
You know,
for
Czech, not
is it loyalty or is the fact that there just hasn't been a younger goalkeeper prepared to push the veteran? You can't drop Buffon, right? Yeah. Akinfeev has done it, been there, seen it, right?
Had a howler in the last World Cup.
Yeah, good. I know. Well, big time, right? So maybe it was time for a change. But you mentioned Del Bosque, and it's you see it over and over again. Managers keeping the faith too long with certain players who almost transcend those teams. You've got to get fresh blood. I think that's really important. And that's why, you know, you mentioned Spain. I like Spain because there is a bit of fresh blood in there. As much as the veterans are there, you got, you know, Jordi Alba's experience now, right? But one of the best left backs in world football if you compare it to the teams that won the European Championships. Still a bit concerned about, you know, is Fabregas really at this level now coming off his season? So there's definitely question marks, yeah, but I still think they're going to perform when they have to. And you mentioned Portugal, J-Mo, as well.
Yeah.
A team that could flop. I just don't know what to make of this team. They are finally now throwing some youth into that team.
They are.
But there's still some old guys, some old performers who he's relying on.
Right.
And I don't know if Ronaldo's got a tournament in him right now. He looked tired in that Champions League final.
He did.
It's almost a complete mirror of the World Cup, isn't it? When he came off, he won the Champions League, but he was knackered.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the same player. And he has to be the man.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it boils down to with him, because he's very much at the center of everything that they do. So if he's not feeling 100% fit, or if he has like an off tournament, kind of like he did at the last time around, although he had injury issues, then I just don't see Portugal being able to do anything. Now, that said, they've got some talented young players in there. I think Willem Carvalho is, you know, absolutely brilliant midfielder for them, and they've got some other
pieces of talent.
I would think.
You think so?
I would think.
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at their projected 11s, right? And you know, Silva, Danilo is great in the midfield there. You know, Matinho's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Matinho's another one, a big fan of his.
Big fan of his. Yeah, I just don't. I mean, listen, Carvalho, 2 years ago now, was seen as the next big thing in Portuguese football.
Right.
I think he's chopped off a little bit. Hasn't quite reached as high. It's probably unfair expectations, though.
Yeah, probably.
Renato Sanches, be interesting to see if he gets some minutes as well. I'm sure he will. Ahead of his big move to Bayern Munich. But yeah, they're a team that qualifying, they were poor.
Man,
we covered a lot of their games and they were bad.
Yeah.
11 goals they scored in qualifying, that's all.
Yeah.
And they're one of those teams where you think already in the round of 16, it's going to be a very tough matchup. If they win the group, which you would assume that they will with Iceland, Austria, and Hungary in there, if they do, I mean, they're looking at the likes of Belgium or Italy in the next round, right? The second place team likely from Group E. And that, I don't like Portugal's chances against either of those teams right away. So, yeah, it could be a quick one for Ronaldo and co for sure.
Well, Daniel Ruiz asks, who'll get the first straight red of the tournament? Pepe, obviously.
Well, Pep, yeah.
Sergio Ramos could be up there as well, but probably Pep. That's fair enough.
Giorgio Chiellini is a good bet.
Romanian left back 7 minutes probably into the opener, actually. Yeah,
yeah, probably.
The home crowd just getting all over the ref.
But I mean, that Group F, I like that Group F, actually, a lot.
Yeah, it's
Austria, Iceland, Portugal, and Hungary. And Greg Petrie, he asks, which of the smaller non-powerhouse nations goes further? And I like Austria a lot in this tournament. They're a team that have been kind of on the cusp looking in the last couple of years. And they are a solid team with David Alaba, for me, the most underrated player in world football. He's playing in the midfield role for Austria. For Bayern Munich, he plays midfield, plays left back, plays center half, plays everywhere. He's the most dynamic player in the world right now. I love him.
Premier League winner in Christian Fuchs.
Yep, absolutely. The captain, yep.
Arnautovic has had a pretty good season. And he finally kind of seems like he's got his head together.
And Marko Janko.
Martin Harnik. Got some good players.
Yeah. It's funny, I was at KJ, had his charity pool last night for Gulu United, and you have £100 million cap, or Euro cap, right? And you got to pick 4-3-3 formation plus a goalkeeper. So, you know, all different strategies, lots of people panicking late, had all this money left over, right? One guy who, I won't mention his name, but he works for The Score, spent 40 million euros on Marko Janko.
Wow.
Now, he's a good player. I like Janko.
I
was teaming with Joe Ross, and I was thinking, if we can get Janko for like 10 million late, we're in. And 40 million.
Wow.
There were some terrible mismanaged teams in that pool last night. But a great cause, GuluUnited.com. Check it out. But yeah, Austria. And Iceland, of course, is going to be a story that everyone's going to be watching. They were so good in qualifying. Lars Lagerbäck, he's been around the block with Sweden a lot. Now he's just managing by himself. He's been there since 2011. He's going to quit after this tournament. 330,000 people in Iceland. We've been through this story before. What they've accomplished is incredible. Do you really expect them to make noise in this tournament? Or will it be one of those nice little stories getting there and then they'll be found out?
Yeah, I think that's going to be that. I think, you know, they did it really, really well to get to this point. But I just think it's, you know, this is the serious time now where all the best teams are in Europe and they're going to find the going much, much tougher.
Yeah, it's a good group for them, though. I mean, when you look at it, because as much as you say Austria is a good team, they'll fancy they can get some from that. And then Hungary as well. I think Hungary might be the weakest team overall in this tournament, just kind of on, you know, first impressions and from qualifying.
Well, they finished third behind Northern Ireland and Romania.
They didn't have a good qualifying group. They were, you know, very much lucky to have that group. So I think that Iceland could beat them. So, I mean, the first game they've got Portugal, which is going to be obviously the toughest one. But even if you lose that, if you can go into the next two matches, you've got Austria, get something from that, and then the final game. I think that potentially they could get through that group, and for them that would be a massive victory already at their first tournament. And to see a knockout game in France would be tremendous for them.
Yeah, I'm with you there. So,
Johnson going to get some time? Was Eidrigu Johnson going to make an impact or what?
I can't believe he's still there.
He's 64. Yeah.
Speaking about old goalkeepers and this couple of old strikers too, right?
It's amazing.
Wow. So which other smaller non-powers nations do you think will go the furthest? Is there one team that stands out? Who's a real dark horse in this tournament? I'm not talking about, you know, an Italy, an England, or a, you know, who's a real dark horse that you could see make some noise?
Well, I don't know if this qualifies, but I think Wales.
They have to qualify, is that?
I
think they could do something. I really like the job that Chris Coleman has done over the last couple of years, really kind of taking over for Gary Speed and building this team together. I think they're very dangerous going forward. And Gareth Bale is coming off what I would suggest is a very good season for Real Madrid. So, and I think they're going to be hungry, right? Because this is the first time that they've qualified for the European Championships. It's their first tournament since, whatever it is, the 50s. So
you say they've got a great offense, right? And Gareth Bale, there's no doubt he's arguably the best player of this tournament.
Right.
Right? But they didn't score many goals in qualifying.
They didn't.
If it wasn't him, it was no one.
Right.
So they are dependent. Now, you know, they've got a very good defense.
Right.
It's basically a five-man back line, essentially, right? Because they don't have the ball very often. So it's generally a five-man back line, and they've been just ferocious defensively without having a star player back there. So they're going to grind results. But, you know, it's because of Gareth Bale that people aren't really considering them a dark horse small team. But they're a tiny team.
They are.
If they got to the quarterfinals, that would be
that'd be huge.
Historic.
Yeah.
It really would.
It's what they can get to support them, for sure. I mean, when your striking option right now is, you know, Hal Robson-Kanu, who's played most of his career in the championship. It's concerning. You know, it's going to be, can they attack as a team, get goals from midfield? Obviously, Ledley has some pedigree. Aaron Ramsey is
broken leg, though, right?
Yeah.
But he's going to be fit, apparently.
Apparently.
It's incredible.
Aaron Ramsey is, you know, he's the massive one for them as well. If he can support, it's all going to come from midfield because they don't have that guy up top. But, you know, they're a team. We've seen that. They're a unit, and they were great in qualifying, and they're riding a high, and they're riding a bit of that, you know, not to say Leicester thing, but they're riding that this is all a bonus kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think the expectations are really there. You know, they're in that group with England where everyone thinks England's going to walk the group, and the other games for Wales are pretty winnable. And I would suggest that the game against England is maybe winnable, or at least a point. So, yeah, I think they're a good shout to get out of the group for sure.
11 goals in qualifying. Bale had seven.
Seven of them. I think he assisted on two or three of the other ones. So
watching the Champions League final, he was so good. That last penalty he took, straight away he grabbed his groin. You notice that? I noticed it.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. Weakness there. Listen, he's got a bit of history of picking up niggles here and there. If he does, goodbye. You've got no chance, Wales. But hey, why not? They could be something, that's for sure. Let's get the JMO's Italy, shall we?
Oh.
Shall we? No? JMO?
Sure, yeah.
See, I have them actually in my bracket. And listen, this bracket is so difficult because the third place teams,
it is
first
difficult.
And second,
yeah.
Right, crosses over. I actually have Italy. And when my brain was saying, don't do this. It doesn't make sense. But my heart was saying, my gut tells me they could grind something out here. They are not a typical vintage Italy team as far as there isn't much star power on that side. I don't know who's scoring their goals. But defensively, they're still one of the best teams in the tournament. And they got some stability there as well with that Juve back four, including Buffon.
Yeah.
They're not going to score many goals. They should have picked Giovinco. But in this cup football, when the goals dry up outside the group phase, I think they might grind their way to a semi-final against Spain.
I think that's pretty optimistic. I think what you said, everything is true about, and I think that'll serve them well during the group stage, because it's a tough group with the Belgians and Sweden and even Ireland. I think Ireland's pace will give Italy a tough time. But I think once you get to the knockout round where you're going to facing, you know, you know, top nations, the caliber of France and Germany and Spain and England, then I think, though, that lack of goal scoring power is really going to come back to haunt them. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that they can grind stuff out, and that sort of back three of Chiellini, Bonucci, and I'm missing some, Barzagli, and then backed up by Buffon, there's no doubt that that gives them a, you know, a huge advantage.
It's imposing, yeah.
It gives them a huge advantage, but at the end of the day, I just think they lack, you know, creativity and flair in midfield and in attack, and I think that's going to be their downfall.
It's almost like they could have taken some player who plays for TFC. It would have been some attacking flair. What do you make of that? I don't know if I've really gotten your take on it. Just, is that a ridiculous...
Yeah, I mean, I can see, Tom, to be honest, I can see both sides.
Yeah.
Like, he only played, like, twice for Italy.
Yeah.
Like, when he was with TFC. So it's not like, it wasn't crucial.
It wasn't shocking.
Yeah, it wasn't shocking. At the same time, they don't really have a player like him, a dynamic player who can kind of run at defenders and really kind of make be an impact player like him. So, and that's what I think this team is desperately lacking, is that sort of creativity and inspiration and flair. So, yeah, I think they could have used him, definitely.
Was there any, like, response in Italy? Obviously, no. Here we saw tons. there was not even a peep, right?
No, there was more about,
it was, like, more the MLS crowd.
Yeah, it was more, absolutely. It was driven by all the outrage was here. In Italy, this is, like, a nonsense.
Not even a factor, yeah. No, interesting. That's the one that stuck out to me, because obviously here it's just, you know, your timeline's flooded and inundated and everyone's just talking about it, and MLS is getting their back up. But in Italy, it's, oh, okay, no, he didn't make it, no problem.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Out of sight, out of mind, right?
Yeah.
Really simple as that.
Yeah.
Conte's last tournament, of course, before joining Chelsea. On Twitter, the consensus regarding Italy was overwhelmingly negative. Our boy Adriano Mancini says, is this the worst team Italy has ever sent to an international tournament? Matthew Emmanuel asks, is the worst I've seen in 30 plus years. Seeing Motta wear the number 10 is a disgrace to the jersey.
Is it the worst Italy squad? It's certainly one of the least inspiring ones since, I want to say, 84. Mm. Yeah, when they didn't qualify for
that
Euro.
That bad, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Jeez.
Who's up front then? Is it going to be Pella?
I think it's going to be Graziano Pella and probably Adair from Sampdoria.
Now, in fairness, Adair was great before his move to Inter Milan.
He was. Absolutely.
Right?
He was
like 11, 12 goals first half of the season, then just shut it down.
Yeah, he's only scored once in the calendar year.
Yeah.
So,
and Pella, we've watched Pella all year long. Is it, if there's a more inconsistent striker?
Yeah, well, he's struggling to get in the team at times, right? I mean, he was great for stretches in the last year and a half, 2 years, and then I think he had a bit of falling out with Koeman, and it just wasn't not ideal going into a tournament when that's your options up front. Two guys not in form whatsoever, but I'd never, ever count Italy out. I mean, I would not be surprised.
And that's why it's
James,
gut,
same
right?
thing you said. If they grind it out, they can do it. They have it, right? It's instinctual. And starting from the back, I mean, personally, in a tournament like this, I'd much rather have that strong defensive unit, goalkeeper, that consistency, knowing that you can grind out, keep clean sheets, and have some question marks up front and hope that somebody gets hot or that you know find a way to expose another team's weaknesses at the back than the opposite way around. I mean, I'd rather be able to win the 1-0s than try to win every game 3-2, because it's not how you go through knockout stage games in these kind of tournaments.
Let me ask you, barring a decent run in this tournament, how will Conte's era as national coach be looked down upon? Poorly?
Well, I think it'll largely depend on, to be fair, what the team does in this tournament.
At this point, right now,
at this point,
has it been very mediocre?
Yeah, I'd like B+, I think. I mean, he's done a very good job with them, I think, in terms of reinvigorating the side and kind of bringing in some new players. I just think the whole leaving for Chelsea has left a bit of a sour taste. It feels like, I don't know, he's kind of not betrayed, because that's not the right word, but I just think the timing and the way all that came about was pretty poor. So I think there's a lot of bad feelings about that with regard to him.
But I'll quickly get your opinion. You mentioned Koeman off to Everton.
Yeah.
Sounds of things.
Yeah. I mean, my opinion on that is that I feel really bad for Southampton, because this is a club that keeps doing the right thing.
Yeah.
A team that, when Pochettino, I thought there was just all this turnover. I thought they might go down the next season. And they not only stayed up, but they were, again, a very, very good team. And I feel like this team is now getting in that rut of just becoming a feeder club for some reason to these bigger teams, even though they continually push for top seven, top eight, continue to produce great players on their own, but then have to eventually sell them off. That's the takeaway for me on that one. I feel bad for Southampton because it's almost like they're a victim of their own success in this continual cycle, and they can't continue to produce at this top level with all that turnover, I don't think. I think it's a good hire for Everton. I think that it's the kind of manager that, you know, they're not going to go from a fun attacking style under Martinez that didn't get the job done to a complete shut it down kind of team, but there will be more structure, and mm-hmm. I think that the fans will be happier with the results, even though it won't be quite the same open style as Martinez, but results will be there.
Yeah, and listen, he's going from a sixth place team to 11th place team, yeah. Right? But a team with new ownership, lots of money.
A team with a bigger history, a team with a bigger budget, they're a bigger team. Yeah. Even though in the last couple of years it hasn't played out that way, but I do feel bad for Southampton because they've done it perfectly. And again, fans are going to be sitting there thinking, geez, we're starting again in a way.
I feel for the fans, the club itself, I mean, that's their model, right? Let's develop, let's buy cheap and let's sell high, right? It's just what they do. And it's worked out pretty well to this point. But yeah, anyway.
Modern football.
We'll get into that, I'm sure, in our Premier League season preview podcasts. Oh,
God. Just 2 weeks away.
No, just not far away at all.
It's crazy.
All right. Let's ask, here's one for you, Tom, because you're a Ukraine fan. Tuxedo Mask asks, who's got a better pair of wingers than Yarmolenko and Konoplyanka? It's tough to say, man. They're extremely talented wingers, and Yarmolenko could star in this tournament if Ukraine can find a way to navigate a pretty tough group C with Germany, Northern Ireland, Poland.
Yeah, it's a tough group. They start with Germany, which you write off as a loss, but you just hope that they hang in there and aren't completely, you know, the doors aren't blown off. And then second, you've got Northern Ireland, a must-win game. And then you go into the last game against Poland. Probably a draw might get you through as a third place team with 4 points. And, you know, you'd wonder if Poland's in that kind of same spot where maybe it's one of those. I'm going to that game, Poland, Ukraine, and Marseille. And I'm almost thinking already, I'm like, it's probably going to be one of those gentlemen's agreements. Let's just draw and both get through. I could definitely see that happening. Hopefully not. But the problem for Ukraine is after those two, where is anything else coming from? I mean, they're very exciting players. You know, Yarmolenko wants to move to England. This is kind of his showcase tournament. Konoplyanka has been stop and start with Sevilla. He's had some really good stretches. He's had some not so great ones. But after that, you just wonder where are the goals coming from? Yeah, they're not an attacking team. So they're a counterattack team.
Right? But he's banned, isn't he?
He's banned for six months domestically. They attacked a ref during a Ukrainian Cup semifinal. And there's just not much there, and they very much play, you know, on the counter, pick your spots, and they only get a couple chances. The games I watched in qualifying, I mean, against Slovenia in the playoff, it was okay. Those two players are nice and fun to watch, but I just don't know if they have enough attacking threat to go with them and to finish the moves. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be a struggle to score goals for sure.
Yeah, and then this group, a lot of people actually on Twitter are obviously embracing their Northern Irish roots. Mm. Watch out for Ireland. They're going to win this thing. They're going to advance. No. Northern Ireland, not taking the mic, but and they were arguably the best story in qualifying. Or medley in a pretty weak group. But they're not going to go very far, I don't think, in Group C.
No, that's a tough one for them.
It's very tough.
That's a tough one for them.
Talent just isn't there, right? Lafferty is injured too. I mean, O'Neill says he's fine. He'll be okay, but you know, he's a very good player, Lafferty, and I'm not sure he's going to score your goals if it's not going to be him. He scored 7 in qualifying.
Yeah, you look up front, it's pretty lacking. Jamie Ward played for Sheffield United for a long time, plays for Force. I mean, when you look at a team and you see a bunch of players playing in the second tier of a league like England, you worry a little bit about their quality in a tournament like this. I mean, yeah, great story, and the fans it'll be a good time. And the defenders, I mean, you've got some big names like Johnny Evans and Gareth McCauley who have, you know, been around the Premier League for a long time. But again, West Brom players, it's not like they're blowing the doors off. It's going to take all that character and all of that, you know, all for one attitude to avoid three losses, I think.
lots of people are really looking at Poland as a team that could make some noise this tournament. And I have to agree. They're a very good team. Look great times in qualifying. To win it all, as a stretch, I think. But you got Robert Lewandowski, who's arguably the top center forward at this year's European Championship. I think Poland are very much a team that can make some serious noise in this tournament and will, I think, cruise through this group.
Yeah, I agree. I think Lewandowski, you're quite right, one of the best strikers in the world, I would suggest world class. And, you know, they beat Germany in the qualifiers, right? So, and they gave them a hard time. So, yes, it's a tough group, but, you know, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if they win it. And, yeah, I mean, can they win it all? I mean, I think that's a bit of a stretch, but a semifinal appearance? I think they have enough depth and quality, especially in midfield, where they can, you know, get to the final four.
Yeah, it's such an interesting group for them. I think it shook down nicely that they start with Northern Ireland in the first game, because that's should be 3 points. It'll give them confidence. But to get two huge rivals like that in your group, in Germany and Ukraine, with so much history and, you know, so much going on there politically between the countries and the fans, I think that that can go one of two ways. I mean, that can be a lot of pressure on them and that can impact them, or what it does is gets you up for it and they know right away that they have to be in that top form. And if they can get through that group in a decent spot, if say they finish second behind Germany, they'll go into the knockout stages already being tested with those two really, you know, intense matches behind them, because both of them will be. We know that they're going to be ferocious games, and that can really serve you well going through into the knockout stages, where other teams might have, you know, had maybe a bit of more of a cakewalk, as it were, as much as you can get at this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of players on this team, Toronto Liver Raps, great Liverpool fan, Raptor fan. He asks, what young players are you keeping an eye on for a breakout tournament? And then the subsequent exorbitant transfer fee to a big club. Arkadiusz Milik in Poland is one such player, I think. He was really good in qualifying. He is someone that I think that could potentially make a name for himself in this tournament. Who else are you looking to break out, break through?
For young guys? Well, I mean, it's interesting because he had a breakout Premier League season, and I don't know how much he'll play for France, only because I think he only has a handful of caps. But I think Conte, you know, this potentially, depending on how much time he gets with Deschamps, this could be huge for him.
Yeah, I think he'll be a star at this tournament.
Yeah.
I think as big a star as a deep-lying holding midfielder, Paul Winner can be, right?
Well, yes, that's true. But I mean, I know it's not a sexy position, but you got to figure, like, especially after the campaign that he had and there's all this hype surrounding him, if he can, like, do what he did for Leicester City in these games in France on home soil and help them, you know, win, you know, I think his transfer value goes absolutely through the roof, and it's already there to begin with. So potentially him. Griezmann, too, is another one. I know he's had a great, fantastic year. So
I think I put him as my breakout player in the preview.
Right. Piece,
but, and I was like, well, is he really a breakout player?
I put him as my golden boot winner, actually. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, really, a year ago, he was coming off his first dominant year, and now he's done it 2 years back to back. So maybe it's a bit of a stretch to call him a breakout player because he's arrived already. But man, I agree. He could definitely be the golden boot winner.
I'll pick Dele Alli.
England talk. Well, they even got a Germany.
I was listening to Sheffield United play against MK Dons in League One 2 seasons ago, and Dele Alli's name kept coming up. Like, Jesus, Dele Alli player seems he's pretty good. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's get some England, shall we? Because most of the questions and comments we got were around.
Sharves, you ready?
I'm so excited.
The glow. Just this time, England's got a good team.
Well, Stuart asks a really good question to get things rolling here. What constitutes a good tournament for England? Just getting out of the group or more? For me, it's honestly, they should expect to be in the quarterfinals.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Anything more than that is a good tournament.
Absolutely.
Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair. I mean, yeah, they have to get out of the group, obviously, and I think they have to win a knockout game. If they go out in the round of 16, then I think that's a pretty big disappointment.
Yeah, completely.
Trouble is, I mean, if they get out of their group by winning Group B, they could play the third place team in A, C, or D.
Yeah.
Right? So it could be a Ukraine, actually.
It could be, England, yeah. Ukraine. You know what? That's actually how I have it in my bracket, the way it shook down with the third place teams I had. I have them playing Ukraine, and
then they lose to Italy in the quarterfinals,
and then they beat Italy in the quarterfinals on penalties.
You got semifinal England.
Yeah,
what are you idiot?
I do.
You stupid.
I know.
Naive idiot.
Yeah, I'm buying in.
Now, I mean, are you buying in?
Well, so I'm just.
I like the team. I do. Defensively, they could be a gong show.
Yeah, it could be bad.
There's a lot on Eric Dier. Shielding that back four.
There is.
A guy with very little international experience.
Yeah, and to have only three center backs, and, you know, Chris Smalling is the one you're counting on the most.
Who was
and
pretty poor down the stretch.
Cahill or Stones, who both
had off seasons.
Stones was poor. Cahill was barely playing. Just, oh my God. Is Rio Ferdinand available?
John Terry was.
It's definitely a concern. And as I was saying with Italy earlier, I'd rather have the solid back line and question marks up front. England are the complete opposite. There's a lot of attacking prowess, a lot of hope, a lot of thoughts that they could score a pile of goals, even though they haven't done that in the last few tournaments. Defensively, it is concerning, and who knows? I'm sure Joe Hart will mix a howler in there, because England always tend to at these tournaments. But
the big question, let's be honest here, revolves around what is Wayne Rooney? Yeah. Where is he playing? Yeah.
And why does he have to play every game?
Why does he have to start? I mean,
Roy Hodgson is loyal to a fault.
Yeah, that's the one guy. He's pretty much, I think, undroppable, because Roy loves him so much. He's a captain. He's an experienced guy. Jomo's shaking his head, and I shake my head too. Clearly on form, and it's not just this season. It's been two seasons now. He doesn't get in that team. He doesn't.
Nope.
Harry Kane and Vardy are obviously your choices up top if you're going with a diamond.
Right.
And Dele Alli, I know he's inexperienced and he's just arrived, but who cares? No. That youthful naivety might be handy. And he's just better in that hole. Last week against Portugal, Rooney was absolutely awful. Right? And he's not a midfielder yet. Maybe he will be one day. He's not really a midfielder.
Yeah.
Where's he going to play? You can't put him out wide.
No, absolutely not.
You're forcing him into a system that doesn't complement him.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think England, this is where it's going to come down to with them, is how long Hodgson is going to remain loyal to Rooney and kind of continue to sort of squeeze him into this starting lineup. I mean, if he comes in at the expense of a Kane or a Vardy, I don't know how you justify that.
I really don't. He's going to try to play all four of them.
Really?
He's going to play Kane, Vardy, Rooney, and Alli. And the problem is, it's a great point. It's like, how long does he stick with it and how long can they do it? But the problem is, it's like, it's a catch-22, because the longer he sticks with them, it's only going to change if there's poor results, and then you might be behind the eight ball already, and then you're screwed.
Right.
It's like, and if it's going well and you're doing well, then you're going to stick with it, and you're going to get to round of 16, and you're going to play a better team, or you're going to get to a quarterfinal, and then it's going to be too late, and you've missed the boat. So it's almost like you want it to get them to get results, but not play great and see, but there's just that fine line of how are you going to change it if it's going well, and if it's not going well, then it's too late to change it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can really see him playing Rooney in that first game against Russia, behind the two forwards, Alli in the midfield with whoever else is going to be, right? And Dier, obviously. I can see them not having a good game and perhaps dropping points in that first game. I can really see that. At which point, maybe his hand is forced if Rooney is one of the main culprits, if he is. But like you said, it's quite possible. I mean, listen, they were great in qualifying and Rooney played, right?
They were, but I mean, was it that difficult of a group?
No, but I mean, look at, all we can really base the quality of the play is what team's in front of you, right? And they got the job done.
Oh, absolutely. Right? There's no question.
I mean, the Switzerland's a pretty decent team.
Yeah.
And they played them very well.
Yeah, but other than that, I mean, were they really troubled in that group?
No. But then look at this group. Are they going to be really troubled? I mean, is this group much better than what they saw in qualifying? You know, Wales is that. Slovakia is a decent
group. It's a good group. Yeah.
It's a good group.
It is.
They're pretty happy with that draw. It could have been worse. I mean, the thing is, it's they're the best team in the group. They're on paper, they're the best team in the group. They should win it. The problem is there's no cupcakes. That's the difference, right? It's like they didn't get a tough group, but they also got three good games. They're not going to get anybody that is weak in that group.
There's no Northern Ireland.
Exactly. It's not a cakewalk through all three, but they should be able to beat all three of them. And, you know, that's the big if. James, I have a question for you about it.
Okay.
Well, who's the one guy that definitely will not be in the starting 11 that you think should be? Or a guy that you could make the case that should be in the 11 that isn't going to be?
James Milner.
You don't think he will be?
I think he might. I don't know. It's quite possible he's not going to, but I would start him. He's just so versatile. He won't hurt you. He's not a star. He's going to bust his ass for 90 minutes, right? He's going to do the simple things correctly. And he has got the experience too. That does count for something. If you're not going to play Rooney, then you need someone, I think, in there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I would say Milner would be the guy. He might well start. I know Roy does like him on that right-hand side.
God, I can't wait. That is so exciting.
Kobe asked us, will Roy do the sensible thing and play Ali in the middle? And we just answered that, probably not to start with. But although, you know, him and Rooney can obviously interchange, but you don't see Rooney out wide.
A year ago, would you have thought Raheem Sterling would be healthy and not...
Great point.
Not be in there. I mean,
how does that move work out for you there, Raheem?
2 years ago, a year ago, it's just the drop-off.
But he's still young enough to bounce back.
Regain it.
Definitely is, but I just don't see him really playing a role or anything.
I can see him. He's a nice option off the bench because he is dynamic, right? And can he attack players one-on-one? Apparently, he didn't see it much this year, mind you.
That is, going to be a strength, actually. England are going to have good options off the bench, whatever the way they go, because they are pretty deep. This is one of the deeper England teams I can remember. I mean, to have the likes of Sterling and Sturridge and guys
well,
like that.
Well, Vardy, right? We're just assuming Vardy's starting, right? Yeah. Right? He's a standout season.
Yeah.
And he was fantastic. And he's now on the cusp of a move to your beloved Arsenal there, J-Mo. Although he's come out today and said he won't decide until after Euro. So he won't be distracted.
Which means
until,
he's
he?
Already made up his mind.
Probably. Probably. And I tweeted out this morning about Vardy and, you know, people are criticizing him if he moves. But if he told anyone in August, Jamie Vardy is mulling over a move to Arsenal, hasn't decided just yet, but he might pretty soon. You'd say you're crazy, Jamie Vardy. Of course, you'd jump at the opportunity, wouldn't you, if you're Vardy? Forget loyalty. It means nothing in professional sports. Yeah. This is a guy that came from non-league football 5 years ago and now has a chance to play with Arsene Wenger and have Mesut Ozil feeding him balls. Of course he's going to go to Arsenal.
Not play with Riyad Mahrez and N'Golo Kante?
He'll be.
He'll be there as well. Yeah. All right. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a big one, right? It's the first domino, and we've talked about, I think, for the last 5 months of how the offseason for Leicester is going to be so interesting. Can they keep them? Where are these guys going to go, and how does this shake down? You hope for the fairy tale sake and for the story sake that one of these times a guy like this would just, you know, actually stay there and be loyal. And I'm not saying he would be wrong to go, but I would just love to see for once a guy like that stay and just...
Yep. Be lovely, wouldn't it?
It would be nice.
He's so cute.
Yeah.
Fairy tale.
Living in a dream world.
Professional sports. Not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
It doesn't surprise me, though, just because of his age, right? He's 29. So you got to figure, like, this is going to be his last sort of 4 to 5 year contract or whatever. So he's going to, you know.
It seems, from a Wenger standpoint, so un-Arsene Wenger. It seems to me that he's looking at the writing on the wall. He's got a couple of years left before he gets that big comfy chair in the upper echelons of the Emirates. And he wants to go for it now. And I still think, you know, they need a world-class striker, right? Arsenal, the biggest need, correct? Vardy's not a world-class striker.
No.
Right? He provides something, and he provides speed and dynamicism that perhaps Arsenal need, perhaps, but he hasn't played in that system, maybe ever.
Right.
Right? He's a counter-attacking footballer. So it'd be fascinating if he goes there, and I think he will go there. But it's just very un-Arsenal-like. But finally, we can't criticize him for spending money, right? They've got Xhaka now. Vardy, there's more coming. Finally, they're spending money, so watch out for them next year. Go Jays, he asks us, over-under on number of minutes into England's first game before Roy Hodgson makes me feel compelled to hit something.
1.5.
Quite early. When you see the lineups come out?
The lineup and England's first turnover and, you know, Rooney halves a guy.
I'm going to give him 78. Right, 70. And it's 0-0, and he hasn't taken Rooney off yet.
Saturday, Sharp. Can you believe it?
Saturday?
Where are you watching the game?
Oh, what a Saturday.
At home?
Probably at home, because I've got to work, right?
It's 3 o'clock here?
Is it a late game? Okay, well, in that case, I'll be here probably. I'm going to probably watch the first two games at home, then come here for the third game, then do a little news hit afterwards.
Beautiful.
For each game day. But yeah, I'm saying it's going to be late in that first game when they're looking awful and Rudy's still out there plodding around, missing passes.
Rain pouring it down in Marseille, 0-0, 80th minute, England looking devoid of ideas. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Right, we're almost out of time. I want to get to Germany and France a bit more before we leave because, for me, they are, along with Spain, the three big favourites. Germany are the favourite. They're in the final. They're going to win this thing according to my expertise, which really counts for anything. But they really are the class, aren't they, of the field once again. And it's not often you see a team go World Cup Euro. We saw Spain do it. We saw France do it back in the late 90s, early 2000s, but it's not often.
No,
will
it's
they
not.
Do it?
Yeah, I think so. They're my pick as well. I just think, you know, coming off the World Cup, this is still a team that is just, you know, incredible depth and quality all over the field. I mean, they could probably field two teams that would go far in this tournament. So, yeah, and I think Thomas Muller is still in the prime of his career. He's going to light it up in France. So,
cost me 55 million euros in the pool.
Yeah. That's money well spent, I think. He's a big tournament player. I mean, like, I don't think he's – I can't recall, like, a big tournament where he's, you know, been bad or
just
mediocre.
He's going to be the all-time leading World Cup scorer.
Yeah, next time around, absolutely. So I just look at this German team, and, like, Ozil's coming off a great year, and they've got all those guys at Bayern who are coming off solid seasons. So for me, they're the team to beat.
With Kroos and Kedira as their midfield too?
No, not at all. I think they're both quality players. I think they complement each other quite well.
Not coming off great years, though, are they? Great seasons. Kroos is pretty good.
Well, I think Kedira, because it's just injuries. He was injury problems.
Put him in a German shirt, though.
Yeah.
That's a good point, though, isn't it? They grow an inch or two, right?
So many of these players on that team really do. I mean, not to say that they're not great club players, most of them, but there's something about...
Gotso's coming off, what, two really poor seasons?
Yeah,
he could be the star of this tournament. Yeah,
of course he could be. My one big fear for them is just defensively. You know, there's some injuries and issues there, and you know, Hector is probably going to start. And
future Liverpool left back.
Yeah,
Hector?
I'm just, there's not quite the same international pedigree and history with the back line this summer. Obviously, Boateng and Hummels in the center back, but the wing backs concern me a little bit. And, you know, if you get caught on a bad day against a team with some explosive play down the wings, and maybe there could be a bit of trouble there.
Well, bear in mind, though, the World Cup, Philipp Lahm didn't start right back.
Yeah.
He did late in the tournament, and that's when they found their mojo, right? Okay. He was a midfielder, and there's question marks there. But you're right, no more Lahm, no more Klosser to come off the bench and score a goal.
Yeah.
No more Mudryk.
Mario Gomez is going to have to play
a role.
Gomez
this time
could
have a good season, though, don't you think?
Yeah, he
good
did.
Good tournament.
In Turkey, though, I mean, that's. You just. There are some question marks, and I think that the way it shakes down, it could be a potential semifinal against France. I personally have France winning the tournament, I have France beating them. You know, I know they're the favorites. There are question marks with France. I don't know if they have the experience and, you know, enough of it to get over the line. But I just think that as the tournament progresses and the fact that they're at home, they've done so well winning multiple tournaments at home before, as that kind of machine builds, I think it all builds to potentially that semifinal against Germany, where if they both win their groups, that is how it would shake down, and I think that would be the game of the tournament. I think kind of whoever wins that wins the tournament.
7-0 Germany in there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I mean, you mentioned defensive issues, right? I mean, you got probably Mangala and Koscielny.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
That's the injury to Varane.
Like, yeah.
Right, which is, it's okay, but I mean, Mangala, I've seen Mangala in some pretty big games look poor this season. Yeah.
Rami might get in there eventually. Mangala scares
me. And Evra and Sanya?
Yeah.
Still plodding
along.
I know,
along. The old guard. I know.
Jesus.
I know.
Martial will be interesting to see. Him and Payet. I'm not sure Payet's going to start, but he might well start. Mm. There's some attacking verve there, and then Coman off the bench. They're a good team, aren't they, France?
Yeah. Very good.
They're exciting.
They're a very good team.
I still say France were putting the best performances at the World Cup. In the group phase last year, last 2 years ago, they were superb.
Yeah. They were. And just.
No Benzema issue?
They're humming right now.
Nah, I don't think right Benzema. Now. I mean, I don't think that affects them in any way.
I think he's underrated, Benzema. In that,
oh, I
in
agree.
That, you know, like he's not prolific because, well, he's just providing space for Ronaldo at Real Madrid.
Sure.
Right?
No, I agree, and I think he could help them definitely. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they've got great attacking depth, and I think Griezmann, as I said, just coming off, you know, a world class sort of season. So I don't think they'll miss him that much. For me, I mean, the question is, France has a history of imploding sometimes at these big tournaments, mm-hmm. kind of like the Dutch. So it'll be interesting to see if they can kind of play as a team and really kind of keep the mentality. The other thing too is, you know, we often talk about home field advantage and everything, but when was the last time the tournament host of a major tournament won? It was France, 98.
Yeah.
It's almost 20 years
yeah.
ago. So you almost wonder, not so much the pressure, but the lack of qualifying games. Do you know what I mean? Playing competitive
games.
I think
it's a real good point, that is.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get around it, though.
No, neither do I.
Unless you just have tournaments spread around Europe, which is going to probably happen at some point. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see if that lack of sort of qualifying competitive games sort of hurts them and whether, you know, they're going to be entirely sharp.
Which I think last time that a top nation hosted Brazil, obviously last time around, but some would argue Brazil weren't a top team.
Well, Germany in 06.
Yeah, in 06 they weren't a top team.
No.
Right? But Klinsmann had them playing pretty well. They got to the final, right, didn't they?
Semis.
Portugal in 04 when they hosted Euro, they made it to the final.
Yeah. Were they considered it? I guess. Yeah.
I think so.
I guess that point made no sense.
Yeah, it's terrible. Good. Terrible point, James. Thanks.
I was thinking of the Lowlands hosted. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's been a while, and you know, I'm trying to think and rack my brain. I don't remember clearly because I was so young in 98 and 2000 how well-oiled the machine they were going into that.
They were incredible.
They were great.
They were one of the greatest teams
ever
seen.
Going into 98?
Absolutely.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Zidane is.
I just wonder pumping. How the pressure of being favorites is going to affect some of these.
Well,
younger,
and the younger teams, right?
Exactly,
and the France teams that won at 98 in Euro, they were a veteran team, right? Yeah, Lilian Thuram, Zidane, and Deschamps and Blanc. I mean, what a team that was, eh? But still one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, but you also had young players like Perez and Henri and Trezeguet.
Stefan Gavache.
Yeah, remember him?
Yeah, that's true. But you had that blend.
Yes. Oh, no, absolutely.
Had those real veterans.
No question.
Which they do with Evra and Sanya and Lloris. There you
go. Well, that's a good point, right? Yeah. I mean, Evra is not known to melt down in big tournaments.
They're going to be fascinating to watch.
Well, we're a few days away from kickoff. Much can still happen between now and then. Jamie Vardy can make his mind up. Ronaldo could twang a hammy. Gareth Bale could do what Gareth Bale does. What is that exactly? I'm not entirely sure.
Gonna wrap
he's got
all
big,
in cotton
big,
wool for the next
bigger,
few days.
Musty legs, according to the Daily Mail. Every story about Gareth Bale and his huge legs, like, well, most footballers have huge legs, apart from maybe Riyad Mahrez. Anyway, boys, so you have Germany winning.
Yes, J-Mo? Germany over France.
You got France winning.
Yes, I do.
I got Germany winning as well, but I think it's going to be relatively open, strong tournament, no really poor sides, but if you're a Northern Ireland fan or a Hungary fan, it might be a long tournament for you, or a short tournament, as the case may be. Well, we hope you enjoyed that. Dunlop, by the way, is in Mexico right now, isn't he?
Yeah, what's he doing?
He's somewhere. Jesus.
Somewhere. Yeah, must I don't know. Be nice, eh?
Probably listening to us.
I know.
Holy Christ.
On that note, I'm going to France on Friday.
Yeah, I was going to say, enjoy yourself. Don't get yourself killed.
No.
Right?
If you guys are doing a pod during the
yeah, we'll
couple
give you a
weeks.
Ring. We'll, when are you back?
I'm back on the 24th.
And again, remind the audience who you're going to see, just so they can feel jealous.
So I'm going to Sweden, Ireland in Paris, Portugal, Iceland in Saint-Étienne, England, Wales in Lens. Switzerland, France in Lille, and Ukraine, Poland, Marseille.
Wow. Terrible trip.
I know, yeah.
Are you on your own or?
I'm flying on my own and I'm going to all the games with different friends. I'm kind of got a week with one buddy. And
flying by yourself, so you'll like tell the air stewardesses that, you know, this little fella here is by himself. He's not with anyone. Can you?
Yes.
Maybe you'll get to see the pilot.
Maybe.
See the cockpit.
I'm in Paris for a couple days on my own. I'm going to find a pub Saturday and watch England and Russia. That should work out well.
Paris, prepare yourself.
I won't be...
don't wear a shirt. Don't wear your colors.
...belligerent or hammered at all. It's good. But yeah, give me a shout and we'll chat.
All right, kids. Well, listen, we'll be back at some point during Euro. We'll let you know via Twitter when and where. Thanks, JMO. Thanks,
Dobbs.
Lance,
we should tell
Lance,
people...
thank you.
We should tell people we're going to have extensive coverage.
Sportsnet.ca, rocking it as per usual.
Yep.
We'll have writers and stuff.
Yeah. We'll have in-depth coverage. Stephen Brunt is going to file stuff for us. Jeff Blair has filed stuff. You're going to do video hits every day for us. Tom is going to do some stuff while he's over in France. So we're going to have a wide variety of original content. So check it out.
When's the preview, the big preview pieces up now, including our picks?
No, that'll go up, I think, tomorrow.
Okay, cool. All right. Hope you enjoyed that. Probably didn't. Apologies.